Italiano.
Have your espresso.
Latino espresso. Not a big cup, but I need more coffee.
Hello and welcome to Buena Vista. This is a bonus episode. I am Ben, and I am here in the year 2047 at the 26th Annual Great American Hall of Name of the Year Awards. American naming technology having advanced to heights hitherto unimagined, this year's nominees present a dizzyingly competitive crop of names, showcasing all of the latest developments in the field of American naming. With no further ado, here are our nominees. Pritchard Euthanasia. Copernicus Dream Theater. Alabaster McMuffin. Crayola Grenache. Platitude Stab. Lancaster Trivium. Froud K. Magnata. Hatterhead Governance. Crest Ambergris. Valencia Birkenstock. Ungulate Van Discography. Gunt Plig. Dirt Gudiverse. Rank Tropical. J.R. Hurtlocker. P. Nightingale Langosh. Chesterton Blart. McCoy Finnegan. Sturgeon Halliburton. Cruft Ellipsoid. Ollivander Lithium. And Tortuga O'Shaughnessy. Wow, what a spectacular field. Now let's meet our hosts. Visiting from the European Institute of Onomastics, it's the inventor of the hyphenated given name, Jean-Marc Jean-Marc. It's Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Uh-huh.
Bonjour, as they say over there.
Bonjour. Bonjour, no?
There we. Who's your pick of the field this year? I know it's probably unethical to reveal who you've chosen before.
I would never reveal. Yeah, I believe good. In a democracy.
You've passed the test.
I voted for Monsieur Ambergris.
Of course. And joining him up on stage is name historian and author of the book The Rules of the Name, Bogart Terpsichord. It's Theo. Hi, Theo.
Hey, how are we going?
Yeah, good. How are you, buddy?
Good, good. I think it's so important to be here. It's so important to continue this tradition as well. Now that we are all not allowed to have emotions, and that's perfectly fine here in the year 2047.
So in the future that I've presented, which is just a little bit in the future so that names are weirder in America, the equilibrium future has also come to pass?
I mean, it's just the future that we're in. I don't know what equilibrium is. Probably destroyed in the Great Archive Fire.
Because it prompted an emotional response.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
We hated it when people looked at that and go, damn, that was sick.
It was actually a documentary.
It would be super cool if you... Yeah, it would be super cool if you stood there and shot guns in every direction.
You have been charged with a feelings crime for getting too sweaty and excited during the gun carter scenes of Equilibrium.
Uh-huh. I think most... Like the history of the Mormons in America, which is the one history that hasn't been destroyed, we can still express ourselves through names. And my favorite, I think, would be Mr. Plink, because he's kind of
Gunt Plink,
keeping it traditional.
Yeah, yeah, that I think is closest to a real American name.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be too astonished to meet someone over there called Gunt Plink. Also, we're in Mormon equilibrium. Is the future Mormonism has become the dominant?
No, no, no. It's just the only history that wasn't destroyed.
Right. So that's all we've got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just through some sheer coincidence.
It's incredible.
We actually worship women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're very big.
We worship women starting at the toes, working our way up, you know.
Well, and Lucy's away today,
by the way. Did all the windows just go dark then? Did it seem like something blotted out the sky just for a moment?
Attack of the 50-footed woman right now. Well, that didn't work. Attack of the 50-foot woman. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that was her.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's a great broad.
In the classical sense of the word great, she's very large.
Yeah, very broad, you know? My goodness. Sometimes when you see a 50-foot woman striding above you,
yeah,
like the
and we're just down here. She's all the way up there, kind of like.
striding across and blotting out the sun like the cover of that most recent Lord album, you have to take it as some kind of sign.
Oh, yeah.
And it must be time for Sign Watch.
And so this is a sign that's not like an omen or
no,
a portent.
No, so it's not a sign of something else. It's a very literal sign, which is what makes it distinct from omens and portents.
Well, yeah, I mean, a sign saying, you know, motorway south, 3 kilometres on right, is portentous that there may be a motorway south, 3 kilometres on your right.
Yeah, that 8 minutes to Gimpy Hungry Jacks often portends that in 8 minutes you're going to see the Gimpy Hungry Jacks.
Yeah.
What about a sign that says, "Welcome to Silent Hill"?
Oh, that is ominous.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
But not so portentous. So yeah.
This comes to us from East Idaho News. Nothing about West Idaho in there.
No, fuck West Idaho. All my homies hate West Idaho.
Is Idaho the state that's in the wrong spot, or is that Utah?
Okay,
did they put it in
the
wrong spot?
What do you mean?
Hey, okay, so which one's Idaho? It's the one...
Idaho's the one east of Oregon, west of Montana. It's in a sort of Oregon-Montana sandwich.
Yeah, no, it's exactly where it should be.
Okay. Oh, perfect. Please. That's where I'd put Idaho if I was going to put it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm thinking of Ohio.
Oh, you think Ohio should be further west?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there in between, like, Chicago and...
The state of Chicago, that's right.
Yeah, and, like, Washington, right? Two very kind of, you know, sort of over there cities. And it's just Ohio. It doesn't know what it's doing over there. It should be right about in... If you take the kind of meeting of Utah, Colorado, and Wyoming, they should kind of make a little spot there for Ohio and just jam it in there, I think.
That's
where it goes.
I would love to know what your beliefs about Ohio are, about what happens in Ohio.
And of course, we all know where Utah is due to Mormon history being the main one.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's just downwind.
Yeah.
I'm proposing that Ohio is just downwind of Salt Lake City's...
In the smell zone.
...chemical piles, yeah.
So now that we've established exactly where Idaho is...
Yeah, Idaho, right spot.
We can bring
possibly too far west, but...
Now that we've established where it is, we can bring you some news from the east of it.
Yeah, news from the far east of Idaho.
The exotic east... Business owners offering a $1,000 reward. Bit of a heads up for any of our money-making listeners out there. $1,000 reward for information leading to arrest of parties who cut signs down. Hey, we need those to tell you where things are.
Mm.
The owners of an Atomic City business. Damn.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Atomic City, Idaho. That's a great fucking name.
That is
cool
a great name.
That's where we're setting Fallout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the year now, 2047. Hey, don't go over to Atomic City, Idaho. It sucks.
The owners of an Atomic City business say someone cut down a company sign earlier this week, and they're offering a reward for information leading to their arrest and conviction. I wonder if it's contingent on conviction.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, that's quite interesting, yeah.
If they get arrested, no dice, no reward. I want maximum punishment, maximum sentence for this person. Vicky O'Haro earns Atomic City Bar and Store. I'm going to take that again because I said she earns it.
That's weird.
That's not right.
Vicky
O'Haro also threw me because that's not how that name's supposed to end.
No, not normally.
Got your vowels wrong, Vicky. Vicky O'Haro owns Atomic City Bar and Store and Atomic Motor Raceway with her husband, Blake Lyle.
Good names. Good,
guys,
solid American names.
Have you looked Atomic City up?
There's not a lot there.
Yeah, population 41.
Yeah.
There is two main roads, Tabor Road and Twin Butts Road.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
That's four butt cheeks.
Yeah, but they did number the main city roads just to make them, I guess, easy to find if you're on First, or it goes all the way from First to 7th and then West 75th.
Yep.
All right, now I'm lost.
Yeah. Well, then you've also got West 1750 North.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they doing over there?
Yeah.
And that's Twin Buttes Road.
Twin Buttes Road. Check out Twin Buttes RV, the caravan park.
They've got an airstrip, which is incredible considering that no one lives there.
Yeah. You've got Atomic Motor Raceway, the most mm-hmm. radioactive place on Earth.
That's just they've got like they've got real like Demolition Derby style shit happening.
Yeah, they've enslaved those floating robots that use like anti-grav technology, and they're whipping them around that track and placing bets on them.
This is just off the POW MIA Memorial Highway. America is so American sometimes.
There's so much psychology happening over there, isn't there?
And the markers that are currently on my screen are the Elfsborg Butt, East Butt, and Three Butts Historical Marker.
I cannot stress enough that that's Butte.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we
if it
do
was,
believe
I'd
in,
know about it by now.
We do believe in democracy on this show, and 2 out of 3 people on this show believe that it says butt.
All right. Yeah. You win. Congratulations.
Yeah, language isn't so prescriptive.
Anyway, Vicky tells EastIdahoNews.com that 4x6 signs along US Highway 26, 2 halfway between Blackfoot and Arco, and the other 2 just before the connector road headed towards Atomic City, were cut down.
Now, if you keep going along that road, you eventually reach Butt City.
Oh, come on now.
And while you're in Butt City, check out the Four Winds Roadhouse Bar.
So many butts.
I've literally never seen you this happy before in my entire life. In however many years. It's the most uncomplicated joy I've ever seen on your face.
They first noticed one sign was missing Tuesday afternoon on their way home from town. It was about 12:45, O'Hara explains. We noticed there was a truck and a Baja buggy on mm-hmm. a pullout road.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, you could still get pregnant on pullout road, by the way.
When we came back, the sign that you would see headed towards the site was half gone. They later discovered all 4 signs were gone and had been cut into pieces with a chainsaw.
Oh, okay. This wasn't a simple kind of steal it and put it
in your dorm.
In your dorm room, in your man den.
No.
Down at Five Butts University.
Yeah, there's some real grievance going on at the Atomic City.
Well, yeah, because I assumed the same thing. I was like, if you could get a sign that said Atomic Motor Raceway.
Yeah, that rules. That's sick.
That whips. Throw that in the back of your truck, take it home, put it up. Absolutely. The crime requires no explanation. However, I found a Facebook post from the account of the Atomic Motor Raceway that says, I've got special words for whoever decided this needed to be done to our business signs out on Highway 26, but I'll save them for my personal page.
Now, that's just professionalism. You're splitting your personal beliefs.
Yep. The left hand can't know what the right hand is doing.
That's right.
Mm.
A police report has been made, but we figured it wouldn't hurt to put this out to the public to see what info can be gathered. We are offering a $1,000 reward for information leading to the arrest, conviction, and I assume swift execution of the person / people who committed this crime. And then they've posted some photos where the signs have just been like chopped in half and dumped on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of sign situation.
So in one of these pictures, I don't know if you guys know this about podcasts. It is in fact an audio medium. You can't see the picture that I'm looking at right now. You can, however, hear some of Theo's digestion happening.
Yeah.
So there was an Atomic City bar and Atomic City Raceway sign up on like two wooden posts, two thick wooden posts, like the ones you find around the old car parks, you know, lining the edge of car parks, with a big sign across them, and somebody has chopped right down the middle of this big sign with a chainsaw. And then they've chopped through both of the wooden posts that are vertically mounted into the ground, cut them off down at ground level, pushed the sign over, and then continued cutting the sign up into several more pieces. So I agree. I agree, Theo, that we're in grievance territory here.
Uh-huh.
Is there a competing speedway, like, next door, maybe?
There is nothing next door. There is nothing anywhere.
No. There is something. So, this...
Is it butt related?
Is it the butt?
No, no. Butt thing? So, the town of Arco, which is just a little way down the road, is the home of the experimental breeder reactor number one, the world's first electricity-generating nuclear power plant. Atomic City used to have a larger population when the neighboring Idaho National Laboratory site was new, which was known as the National Reactor Testing Station until 1975. So this is sort of like the heartland of American nuclear reactors.
Huh.
They've also got a they had the store you could buy gasoline from, but then they updated the laws on how you have to keep your underground tanks, you know, whatever, and now they can't sell gasoline anymore.
You couldn't buy it in a jar off the shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah. It's rules. This town comes pre-Fallouted.
Yeah, they've done the Fallouting already for you. So you don't have to do anything, Todd, whatever your fucking name is.
Yeah.
Todd Howard. Is that his name?
Yeah, Todd Howard. Take that.
So just going to the comments of this Facebook post here, we have Sam Phillips says, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
3 question marks. He's not fucking
around. What in blazes?
Mm. Alan Wharf says, "That's just wrong." Jared Wallace says, "Someone was not happy with the last call."
Which is interesting because... Jerry Wallace says typical human behavior these days, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which now
of days.
I'm going to dispute Jerry's assertion here and say that I don't actually think it's typical behavior to cut down a business's signs with a chainsaw and then blast them into a bunch of pieces.
Oh, well. Agree to disagree.
I don't think that's happening that commonly as a reaction to things that have happened at a local bar and or speedway.
Hey, do you want to read the last comment there?
Yes, from an instant Great American Hall of Name entrant, Slater McCandless posts the disrespect.
That's probably the rudest thing you could do to a speedway. Slater McCandless. That is Slater with a D, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So they did discover that all of their signs were gone and had all been cut to pieces with a chainsaw. They have security footage of the vehicle that was near the signs coming into Atomic Vehicle, making a U-turn, then heading the opposite direction. "We only missed them by 10 minutes, says O'Hara, putting her guns back in their holsters.
Yeah.
If that person comes back through, they are going to get chased by like a pickup truck with people with pitchforks and rifles in the back, I reckon. The video doesn't show anything in the back of the vehicle, but O'Hara says the buggy's tracks are all over the area where they initially saw them.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually just row back a second there, and I'm gonna disagree with your categorization of this. This is definitely a chasing you in a car from Mad Max sort of style town. This is a buggy with spikes on it. Guys in the back with pipe rifles chasing you sort of town. Just get the characterization.
Get the tone right.
Yeah.
O'Hara doesn't know for sure who did it, but says it's possible someone they kicked out of their bar in May is responsible. So it was indeed someone who wasn't happy with the last call.
Allegedly, yeah.
It was definitely.
Yeah, someone. This guy.
Quote, "The signs have been up about 6.5 years. We're out in the middle of nowhere, and we get a lot of business from people just seeing those signs," she says. Though they've filed a report with the Bingham County Sheriff's Office, O'Hara says they haven't heard anything back. They just want whoever is responsible to be held accountable. We've got some comments here from the news story. Garrett Scott says, I'll help pay for a raceway sign to go back up. Contact me. Kids and also adults need a place to race in a safe environment.
Yeah, so true.
That was nice of you to not include the typo that he'd made where he said, I'm a safe environment. Sure. Look, you are, Garrett.
He's posting respectfully, whereas Stan Jones posts Biden voters dot dot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like something they do.
Typical Biden voter behavior. David Chicago says, looks like they called someone's tab and they didn't like it.
Yeah.
Travis Eva, an Evangelion fan.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. I think so.
Says, eco-terrorists in training. Today, a bar sign. Tomorrow, a Van Gogh. In fairness, it's
real logical progression there.
In fairness, it is a lot easier to get a chainsaw onto Highway 26 than it is to get it into, like, the Louvre.
Yeah.
Well, you could probably just chainsaw your way through that glass at the top.
Oh, I think someone's revealing themselves as potentially the suspect here. Deny the Cross posts, whose property were the signs on? 3 thumbs up, 15 thumbs down.
Mm.
Yeah, God's property.
Engaging in a bit of victim blaming here, this guy. Magic Steve replies.
Where are we?
Magic Steve replies, most were on state roadside property. Public. If you want to dig a little deeper, the signs were, quote, illegal to put up.
Yeah.
Magic Steve has continued to post his own comment, saying, you can't treat patrons bad and not expect consequences. Magic Steve, you can't show your ass like this.
Well, Magic Steve is a digital ghost. I tried to track down Magic Steve. I spent a fair amount of time on it. I reverse image searched his profile picture. I was searching for other social media accounts with the name Magic Steve. I can't find anything, but I think Magic Steve might be taking credit for these attacks.
And Monkey Chunks replies to Magic Steve, saying, that's vigilantism, bro, and it's illegal. This isn't the Wild West.
You can't stop Magic Steve.
It should be. In Atomic... this is one thing that's been bugging me the whole time. They're going to the cops.
Yeah.
But the cops have abandoned you in this town. In this town, a man named Killian rules supreme.
I think...
With his two barrels...
In Atomic City, the only justice comes from the end of a gun. You can't be calling up Highway Patrol.
Yeah.
You got to track down Magic Steve yourself.
Yeah.
Also, like 40 people live there. It's just Steve. There's one Steve
There's
in
one
town.
There's one Steve, yeah. And according to the Wikipedia page, one Asian.
I mean, that might be the thing where they slightly fudge the census numbers to hide people's identity, so it's probably none, you know.
A little hush falling over the patron. Here he comes. Fucking hell. Shout out to whoever is out there maintaining the website progcovers.com. No, Theo, unfortunately, it's not about progressive rock covers of famous songs.
Oh, no, I would assume it was about progressive rock album covers from the late 90s, early 2000s that all look the goddamn same, and I'm pretty certain the one guy does them all.
Progcovers.com is, of course, a site that someone has set up where they have scanned and catalogued the covers of, like, souvenir programs of speedways and raceways around America, and they're cool as shit. Check out progcovers.com if you would like to see some cool souvenir covers of races. Well, look, let's hope swift justice comes to Magic Steve.
I You know what? Yeah. If they were a legally erected signage and they've treated their customers bad, I'm with Magic Steve.
You think they deserve everything they get?
Stay safe out there, bro.
But what is law on the streets of Atomic City?
That's true.
Well, it's like you don't move out to Atomic City, population one Asian, if you're looking.
Don't say it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't move out there if you're like if you're trying to live in a society. You move out there if you want to be able to take law
into
your own
hands.
You know?
You want to escape society.
Yeah, that's it. Free Magic Steve. Magic Steve, innocent.
Don't incarcerate Magic Steve in the first place. So we don't even have to free him.
We need to... Don't incarcerate Magic Steve. We need some Don't Incarcerate Magic Steve shirts. My goodness. That's right. People living out there in the wild. You never know what kind of thing you're going to run into out there. It could be a man who calls himself Magic Steve wielding a chainsaw. It could be various kinds of wildlife. It's time for Nature Corner.
Country roads, take me home to the place I belong, Winter Vista.
This is a press release from the University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer and Environmental Sciences. Canada geese beat humans in long-standing territory battle.
Yeah.
Folks, we're on the retreat.
Well done, Canada geese.
This is just the start.
The front is moving back towards us. We're losing ground every day. They're well armed. They're very intelligent. Although, are they? Canada geese collide with aircraft, intimidate unassuming joggers, and leave lawns and sidewalks spattered with prodigious piles of poop. They're widely considered nuisance birds, and municipalities invest considerable time and money harassing geese to relocate the feisty flocks.
Yeah, intelligent enough to know that they need control of this of the skies first, though, on a strategic level.
Yeah, just, I think...
If you control the skies, you control the spice.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Okay. But new University of Illinois research shows standard goose harassment efforts aren't effective, especially in winter when birds should be most susceptible to scare tactics.
Can we have some of those harassment methods, please?
Yelling, clapping your hands at
them. Yeah, going, ah, oh, no.
Ooh.
Get out of here.
Far off. Sort of pretending to kick at them.
Yep.
Get out of here.
Ah.
Sexual harassment is a big one.
Oh, no.
Nice legs.
I hate to see you leave, but I love to watch you waddle away.
Quote, harassment is part of an energy equation. If a bird is hanging around Chicago in winter, it's probably not in good shape. It's cold and doesn't have a lot of food, says Mike Ward, professor in the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences at Illinois and co-author on the study. The goal of harassment is never to hurt the geese, but to get them to use up energy during an already tough season, forcing them to migrate to warmer climates. Unfortunately, we found that doesn't happen in practice. Are you getting them to use up all their mental energy? Why would he say that? Why would he say that to me?
Yeah, or their emotional energy. Like, can you please clean up the shit that you've put all over the path?
We're begging you.
Yeah, I took the children all this way.
My harassment efforts. The study isn't the first to find harassment doesn't work, but it is the first to explain why. So we just kept doing it. We knew it didn't work.
Yeah. Sometimes you just do things for yourself, you know, to make you feel better.
Yeah, yeah. It's mainly about... It's turned into more of a hobby at this point. The researchers used GPS transmitters with Fitbit-like movement trackers to learn where Canada geese go and how their behavior changes when they're harassed. Do they become withdrawn? Do they?
Their step count's all fucked.
They start listening to My Chemical Romance. Ward's doctoral student Ryan Askren, now a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Arkansas, Monticello, worked with USDA Wildlife Services personnel to harass Canada geese at Marquette Park near Midway Airport in Chicago.
If you do it's something you love.
It's extremely... So what do you do at a party?
Goose harasser.
I'm mainly harassing geese these days.
I work in harassment, sort of the birds area of harassment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hey, these birds aren't going to harass themselves, you know? During the winters of 2017 and 2018, members of the research team walked or drove towards geese while clacking boards together. That can't be safe. You need a hands-free board clacking kind of deal.
You're steering a golf cart with your knees while you're doing wood block sounds at them.
Did the geese leave? Yes. But they returned to the area almost 2 times faster than on days when they weren't harassed and left the park on their own. Let's see if that motherfucker with the boards is back here. Something to say to him. They come looking for you. quote, when they're not being harassed, they're making the choice to leave the park because it's beneficial to them. There's a resource elsewhere they want to access, Askren says. Whereas when we're harassing them, they probably have a biological reason to be there. There's some sort of resource, such as food or water, and they want to be there at that moment.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, they want to bite you.
I think of all the animals that can find themselves in areas that they don't want to be in at all, I feel like birds are probably pretty low on the list, seeing as they can just kind of just scoot over to somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
You
know, yeah, they've got the Z-axis.
You got the easiest hit the bricks mechanism of any creature.
Yep. It's fine, you know? Unless you're talking like penguins or whatever. Yeah. These guys, they can go. They can sort it out anytime. Quote, when we harass them, it causes them to leave momentarily, but more than likely, they still have that drive to come back. So they're returning more quickly, whereas the geese that leave in the absence of harassment are staying away to make use of a resource elsewhere. Most harassed geese either move elsewhere in the same park or were back within the hour.
And with a gun.
Oh,
can't harass me forever.
Those that did leave went to commercial rooftops, rail yards, other parks, water treatment ponds, and sports fields. Not exactly migrating long distance and away from the urban environment.
No, and not exactly where you want them to be. It's like, oh, they're just over there shitting in the town water supply, yeah. So probably on measure.
Weirdly, a lot of overlap with the kind of places Tom Waits hangs out as well.
Yeah, most geese immediately like boarded a bus and started flapping around and shitting.
Yelling up and down, out of tune pianos.
As for harassment draining energy reserves during a vulnerable time, Ward and Askren didn't find much evidence for that in geese behavior. Harassed birds spent a little more time flying and in alert mode than geese that weren't harassed, but they spent just as much time foraging and resting, important factors in the energetic equation.
It's called self-care.
I've been harassed and now I need a nap. Although harassment didn't change geese behavior much, the research team noticed a pattern that could be exploited during the worst winter weather. If it was crazy cold and snowy, our colleagues did not go out to harass the geese, Ward says. But that's probably when you should harass, because the geese are the most stressed. Well, don't... It's all very unkind.
Hmm.
Simply leave these geese alone. If you look at their behavior, they're going to areas just to rest and essentially wait out this terrible weather. So if you could harass them during those really rough times, they would probably have to leave the area because they wouldn't be able to find the resources they need to survive. Could the outcome have differed with another harassment method? The researchers say it's possible, but the methods showing the most promise usually don't go over well with the public.
Yeah.
Yep. Flashing them.
They're talking about those big bird cannons, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the ones that disperse clouds.
Yeah. Turns out they're just everything cannons. Whatever's over there, cannon.
Yeah, like, I don't know. What are we doing? Blasting foghorns? Like, are we just, walking around with little air horns at the geese? I feel like people in the park wouldn't love that so much.
Firing gel blasters at them?
Quote, the literature suggests, unless there's a lethal aspect to harassment, unless they really have a strong fear that they're going to die, or some of them are actually dying, then most harassment methods just don't seem to be very effective.
Oh, you got to make them believe it.
Got to do some, like, some staged goose snuff films.
Yeah. You got to decimate them, unfortunately. One in every 10.
It's weird. They don't leave unless you kill them. And even then, they're not really leaving, per se. Leaving the mortal coil.
Yeah, you're still kind of responsible for throwing them.
You're not really harassing them if you kill them. That seems like that's a step up above harassment.
Lastly, the research team wondered if Chicago-based geese... There's a lot of really good turns of phrase in this. Mm. Geese behavior, geese harassment techniques, Chicago-based geese. I'm enjoying this very much. The research team wondered if Chicago-based geese simply had acquired more grit in the busy urban environment, making them less easily spooked.
Oh, Bill, brought up in the school of hard knocks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These geese are all like... Paul Kersey in Death Wish, you know?
Smoking cigarettes, yep. Eating the butts.
Buttes.
Because they had tracked these geese long-term for other studies, the researchers knew which geese were migrants from rural areas and which were long-time Chicago residents.
Well, the ones that were chewing on a stalk of grass were the ones from out of town, obviously.
Yeah, they can tell which ones are Cubs fans.
Yeah.
Turns out, neither group was particularly perturbed by harassment. Askren credits Canada geese with strong adaptability, excellent memory, and a keen ability to discern legitimate threats from mild annoyances.
And fuckable, yeah. Too.
It turns out that they figure out pretty quickly that you're just some dickhead clapping boards nearby.
Yeah, they're calling the bluff like guy holding a gun... to someone's headstart, and they're going, pull the trigger, I dare you. You're not going to pull the fucking trigger. Except they're doing it to some lab coat guys with two bits of 2x4. Do it. Clap me to death. You're not going to do it.
Let's see if I can, motherfucker. End it. It's winter. I don't give a fuck. Ward agrees. Quote, people don't realize how smart geese are. They've learned what the real risks are over the course of their lives or from each other. Telling goose stories around the campfire.
That guy's fronting. That guy's straight up bluffing.
If you see a guy who looks like he's doing a research doctorate, just don't worry about him. Maybe we'll figure out a good harassment technique, but it's likely they're going to continue to increase in urban areas because they found a good place. They're nesting on top of buildings. I mean, who would have ever thought a goose would nest on top of a building? They should be nesting in wetlands, but they're very adaptable. Well, they didn't put the buildings there, to be fair to them.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like that's on you guys.
Give them back their wetlands.
Yeah. Maybe turn it back into wetlands and see if they stay or go. You know? Now, recently... I noted on one of the shows that we had been turning up in the Apple Comedy Podcast charts for Ukraine. And we said, what's up with that? Surely you guys have got better things to do at this point in time than be listening to this particular show. And I did send out the feelers and say, if you happen to be in Ukraine, listening to this show, please write in and explain what's up with that. And we did indeed receive a letter, and it's time for the Buena Vista Hotline. 1-800-317-515, that's the Buena Vista Hotline. 1-800-317-515, that's the Buena Vista Hotline. You can send us an email, mailbag@buenavista.com. Maybe DM us on Twitter. You could even message Facebook, but we don't really check the Facebook. Yeah, 1-800-317-515. That's the Buena Vista Hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Buena Vista Hotline. This letter comes to us from cherished listener Kuba in Poland, who writes, "I do have a story. When the war broke out, I got to run a small improvised soup kitchen in Krakow in Poland to make hot meals for people coming in. I had like a dozen people stay at my place throughout a couple of weeks, and even more to help out, and they loved the show, so it was on while we were chopping onions and covering everything you can imagine in mayo."
Beautiful.
"I think most of them went back by now, and I'm sure. What I'm sure of is they took with them the knowledge of where to find the most reliable Dutch blackface news in the world, and I'm pretty sure at least a couple of downloads came this way." Well, that's wonderful.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that type of thing should be happening.
It's truly unhinged. I mean, wonderful, obviously. Delightful. But Christ alive. Sometimes you get an answer to a question that you've asked, and you go, huh. That's nuts.
You say,
"We are helping people."
Yeah, we are really helping in Ukraine, us personally. Christ alive. Isn't that nice?
It seems very weird to me that people who objectively have better things going on, more important things, would be like, "You know what? Let's check out what these fellas and one lady think about the Twin Bots Bar."
Yeah. Yeah.
For 30 minutes.
We need to let them know what's going on in the world of Speedway sign theft. You know? Finding out that people in Ukraine are potentially listening to this show, why, that's enough to give me a heart attack and send me to the hospital. It's time for Hospital Watch. That's going to have to do.
That's close enough. Yeah. That's fine.
From the Associated Press, quote, "Patient allegedly turned off roommate's ventilator because the sound annoyed her."
Great.
Look, yeah. I think it's great that after all this time that this lady is still independent. You know? she's not pressing the button and asking for the nurse. She's just sorting it out. A 72-year-old woman in Germany has been arrested after she allegedly twice switched off a hospital roommate's ventilator because she was annoyed by the sound it made.
Well, it came back on.
I'm not sure you get to, there's no more, like, plausible deniability at that point. Oh, I didn't know something bad would happen. You know?
Yeah. I wasn't really listening the first time.
Just think about turning that fucking thing off, you know? The woman was detained on suspicion of attempted manslaughter after the incident in the southwestern city of Mannheim on Tuesday evening. Police and prosecutors said the suspect was alleged to have switched off a woman's ventilator and then, despite staff telling her the machine was vital for the patient, switched it off again later that evening.
Hey, stop that. Nine.
Cut it out. Oh, dear. A joint press release published by the Mannheim Public Prosecutor's Office and Mannheim Police alleged the woman switched off the ventilator before 8 p.m. after she, quote, felt disturbed by the noise coming from the oxygen device. Although the suspect was informed by hospital staff that the oxygen supply was a vital measure, she is said to have switched off the device again around 9 p.m., the statement read. The 79-year-old patient had to be revived. Authorities said, and while her life was not in danger, she still required intensive care.
Huh.
the suspect was...
I feel like this is like when you got two apes in the same zoo enclosure that just really don't like each other. Or perhaps one ape and one very sleepy other ape. And you've just got to separate them.
Yeah, or it's 270-something-year-old German women.
The suspect was brought before a judge on Wednesday and taken to jail. Investigations are ongoing.
Oh, my God.
What are you in for? Well,
that's so good. Imagine just being, like, so crabby that you're just like, for fuck's sake, I'm trying to sleep, and all I can hear is the sound of this person's life being sustained, walking over the wall and just be like, bloop.
First time, hey, don't do that. Second time, jail.
Yep. You're going in the clink, lady.
Look, like I said, you know, first time, you can be like, well, maybe she didn't know. Maybe she didn't know what was going to happen. Mm. And then we explained quite clearly, she's going to die if you switch that off.
Yeah, she couldn't hear because of the ventilator going.
I can't hear you over that fucking beeping. I assume there was some beeping happening. Wow. That's a wild-ass thing to do. Congrats, old lady. You're going in the clink.
Yeah. I don't think she should have gone in. Well, maybe. I don't know what should have happened to this lady.
Do you think jail is a bit strong?
I hope she finds peace.
I hope it's quiet in jail. Couldn't they just move her to, like, another room?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what is elderly care, really? If not.
Another form of jail?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said it.
Yeah, good point.
Wasn't big.
You know who else has too many old people's homes that are like prisons? America! Mm. It's time for America Watch. Perfect. Swish. Nothing but net. This is from WJRT, the Wajert.
Wajert.
In Michigan. Flint man discovers military-grade explosives concealed in car door. Isn't that good?
Well, it depends. Do you want military-grade explosives?
Well, there was one of two ways you were going to discover those explosives.
In fairness...
the easy way and the loud way.
In fairness, I have never once stated that I didn't want military-grade explosives in my car door, you know?
Yeah. So if anyone wants to surprise Andrew...
A Flint man made a surprise discovery of military-grade explosives concealed in a car door over the weekend. Yeah, surprise discovery is apt, I think,
yeah,
in this scenario. Flint Police Chief Terrence Green said a homeowner who lives on the city's north side found C4 explosives stashed in the door almost by accident on Saturday. The man, who was not identified, travelled about 40 miles to a salvage yard in Quebec. To purchase a vehicle door. He was attempting to install the door Saturday when he found the explosives hidden inside.
God, it's a tale as old as time. You drive to the next town to buy a door. You come back with several pounds of military-grade C4.
Who among us? Who among us has not had this experience? Quote... Indeed, this is military-grade C4 explosives. They are very dangerous and hazardous, said Green. The Flint
Police
Department...
Are they, though? I thought you could just, like, throw those bad boys around like baseballs.
Oh, you think they're inert? Like, they don't just explode from hitting them?
Yeah. I think you've got some free explosives.
It's like, look, if there's anything that we learned from the documentary Die Hard...
Yes, and there is...
It's that there is simply nothing to be done with C4 without the detonators.
That's right. You need the
Where
detonators.
Where are the detonators?
Yeah. Are they in them currently?
And if not, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Free paperweight. You know? What are you complaining about? You kids could maybe sculpt something out of it. The Flint Police Department has an in-house bomb squad. Fancy. Which arrived and took custody of the explosives soon after the resident reported what he found.
And yet no clean drinking water.
I think they fixed that. I looked it up the other day. They sorted that out.
Oh. Yeah. That sounds unlikely, but I hope it's true.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
The bomb squad did safely remove these items. Right now, they are secured in a secure location, Green
That's
said.
That's a great place to secure something.
Yeah. I think you could either say we have secured them in a location or they are in a secure location.
Yeah.
But it's kind of implied. It's kind of implied when you say secure location that they've been secured there.
Yeah,
right?
You've secured them in a location.
Yeah. It's in the name. It's in the name. You don't have to say it. He believes the explosives may have been stolen from a military base and concealed inside the panel of the door. Quote, you see the lot numbers on there. We're going to have the ATF track those lot numbers so we will have a better idea of determining where they actually came from. Kind of seems like it doesn't matter at this point, you know?
Yeah, it kind of seems like it wasn't that big of a deal if they haven't... If you haven't missed it by now... It hasn't brought you joy. It hasn't sparked you joy. So
yeah. You didn't need it in the first place.
You didn't need it. Let
Turns
it go.
You could have done without it the whole time.
Yeah.
You know? The explosives are illegal for civilians to possess or transport.
Typical, but they let the government have them. That's what's wrong with the world these days.
Oh, so yeah, I can't have a harmless have block of C4, but I can have a gun.
Yeah. I'm allowed to be at this school. This is public land. Can't make me leave.
He said the incident could have turned tragic if the C4 had detonated.
Yeah, a lot of things could have happened, pal.
Quote, due to the fact that these explosives were concealed in the door of the vehicle, if there was some type of motor vehicle accident and a collision with that vehicle, I believe these explosives would have ignited and caused a lot of damage, loss of life, and things of that nature.
Things
Green
of that
said.
Nature. Yeah.
What and are the so other... on and so forth.
Yeah, what are the other things of that nature?
Flames, bricks flying around. Maybe the driver's head comes right off and it flies up into the sky. We see it from like a, you know, an aerial top-down kind of angle, and it flies up past the camera. And then we cut to maybe some people at a picnic. There's a big punch bowl in the middle of the table. And everybody's just talking about what a nice day it is, and they look up at the sky. Splash! Disembodied head right in the punch bowl. Kind of uncommon for a picnic, but they thought, hey.
Big cut crystal punch bowl.
Children immediately discovering it.
Ah!
It would ruin your day if you're the kind of guy that runs it, that drives around T-boning other cars for fun. You managed to T-bone the one car whose door was completely full of C4 explosives.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen, typically speaking.
Yeah. Half my luck, you'd say.
So this is a bit of
explodes.
Slightly off topic, but I did actually want to tell you guys something. It's about a new diet that I'm on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, we don't have to cover it. We
yeah,
can talk about
it's fine, actually. We'll talk about it offline.
If you are a weapons psycho who listens to the show, which is, I think we have some.
Yeah.
Please let us know if being bonked by a car would explode a block of C4, or if this guy is just trying to have a bit of fun with it. If he's just go in drama mode on it, you know?
Yeah.
We would love to know.
If he was just being big old melodramatic Steve, whatever his name is.
Well, I mean, it doesn't sound as cool if you say, if this guy hadn't pried this door open, we never would have known it was in there and nothing would have happened.
Yeah, nobody was in danger the entire time. People don't want to hear that. They want to hear that they were a hair's breadth away from being exploded.
Really want to know. C4 is very stable and insensitive to most physical shocks.
Yeah, me too.
C4 cannot be detonated by gunshot or by dropping it on a hard surface. It does not explode when set on fire or exposed to microwaves. Detonation can be initiated only by a shockwave, such as when a detonator inserted into it is fired. So we really are working off diehard rules here. There was nothing at all was going to happen to this.
Yeah. It was a Christmas documentary.
Green said anyone who comes across an explosive device should call 911 immediately. Never try to detonate or handle possible explosives without proper training. Don't put it up on a fence post and shoot at it with your six shooter. You know?
Yeah. Don't fill a barrel with Tannerite and then fire a gun at it, even though it would be extremely cool and a lot of fun.
Oh, here's a here's a study about what happens to you when you eat a bunch of C4.
Yeah.
Is it good?
This is what we need to know.
Acute C4 ingestion and toxicity. So study from the National Library of Medicine. Abstract. Composition C4 is a plastic explosive substance used in military combat units for demolition. There are limited reports of the effect of ingested C4. We sought to provide a broad overview of cyclonite RDX exposure in humans to give a general understanding of both the clinical effects of exposure as well as management considerations. There are few reports of studies of C4 ingestions. In these studies, the most common effects are serious central nervous system effects, followed renal and gastrointestinal symptoms.
I gotta stop eating C4.
Critical.
Ben,
get off that diet. Get off the diet. Shit. I'm losing heaps of weight.
I'm off the C4 diet.
Critical actions involve airway control, seizure control, and adequate fluid hydration. The toxidrome of this ingestion is typically transient, and management is primarily supportive.
Oh, cool.
Folks, you heard it here first. If you go to a wrecker and you get a door for your car and it turns out that there is a big block of C4 in there, don't eat it all.
Yeah.
Don't even eat that much of it. Try not to eat too much of the C4 that you find in your car door.
Yeah.
Okay?
Moderation is key. Everything in moderation, including C4 eating.
I tell you what, bumping into another car, having it explode, blow your head off and your head landing in the big cut crystal punch bowl at a picnic, it's truly the one thing you wouldn't want to happen, you know?
I don't know, it kind of sounds cool.
It's time for the one thing we didn't want to happen.
This is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
Anyone else want to say it? I feel like I got to say it a bunch of times in sequence just now.
No. Yeah. You said it enough for the rest of us.
I'm not very good at voice work.
I don't want to hog all of the one thing we didn't want to happen, you know? This comes to us from WFMY, the Woofamy News in North Carolina. Rain jacket catches pile of laundry on fire in Burlington home.
Now, this isn't... The ironic twist of this one is not in the headline. The thing that makes it the one thing we didn't want to happen. That happens later in the story.
Well, because the headline itself seems pretty darn ironic, so...
Because rain is sort of the opposite of fire in a way.
Yeah.
When you think about laundry...
Yeah.
And I know we do. I know we're all mostly thinking about laundry. When you think about laundry, most often people think about the fire coming from the lint trap. But for Anthony Mabane, it wasn't the dryer that was the issue.
When I think about laundry, mostly I think about clean clothes.
Yeah.
More than I think about fire coming out of the lint trap.
Like a nice smell?
I think about having clean shirts.
You gotta love getting some fresh sheets on the bed.
Oof.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a treat, isn't it? Folks, we love fresh sheets, don't we?
We do. Wash your sheets.
On Tuesday morning, while Mabane was at work, he got a call from his alarm company who said his fire alarm was going off. Quote, they were like, sir, your alarm has been sounded. And I said, well, okay, let me check it out. So I went on my phone and investigated, and saw as I was looking through my cameras, I saw a fire officer approaching my doorstep, said Mabane.
This is America?
Yeah. Like that song.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beat me to it.
Huh.
Yeah, so he's getting got a fire alarm that's rigged to a security company or whatever that calls him, but then he's also got his own like smart cameras that he can log into on his phone.
Yeah, let me bring up the vision.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
People love that shit, don't they?
I fucking hate it so much. I hate it. I hate the whole people having those Ring cameras and then posting like funny videos. I'm putting funny in scare quotes of like delivery guys doing stuff or whatever. Yeah. That's so upsetting. That's
or
so
or using them to narc on delivery people.
Yeah. Oh, that look at the look at this lowlife who stole my Mercedes. Fuck you. Free Mercedes.
Well, just the whole thing of like, oh, if someone didn't handle my package right, or they were late with the delivery or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I know we've talked about this a bit lately. Just that type of I don't know how much there is that whole new layer now of just get other people to do stuff for you of like Airtasker and Uber Eats and all those things. And it just gives you another layer in between of someone you can go, you're doing this wrong.
Mm.
You're doing it wrong. And I didn't like how long it took for you to go and get my cheeseburger from the
and
shop.
And now there
me.
Must be consequences.
Consequences. I don't know. It does seem like more of a problem in other places, but, you know, we eventually catch the disease here. That's all I'm saying.
I don't really see those cameras. Well, by the time we get those cameras here, all of the cloud services will be down. So,
oh, I definitely
we'll
know people
miss the whole thing.
I know people who have them here.
I hate it.
And yeah, and people who like, you know, I think I was at a thing a while ago, and like people that I work with were like throughout the day, you know, getting deliveries and stuff, and pulling up the feed from the camera on their phone live while they're sitting there. And look, there are a lot of things where it's nice that you can do them from your phone, and it's nice that you can have kind of instant feedback on them and everything like that. But I don't know. It all feels very extension of a general vibe of not trusting anyone.
Yeah. You could say dystopian if you wanted to give it a crack.
Yeah, if I wanted to say it, I would have said it there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's right there if you wanted.
Yep. Okay. No, I'll keep that in mind for next time.
Thanks.
He said he asked the officer through his phone if he could explain what was going on, and that's when he learned while at work that his house was on fire. So you've got a fireman here at your house to put it out, and he has to stop
for
you to be like, excuse me, sir, can I get an update on the situation?
Yeah, it's fire.
Can you stop putting out my house on fire for a minute to tell me that my house is on fire? Firefighters forced their way inside the home since Mabain was still at work. Oh, so he can't unlock his fucking door over the phone. Idiot. They got the fire out in 15 minutes. Once the fire was out, that's when the fire crews started investigating. Quote, he was just asking me, you know, did I smoke anything? I said, no, I don't smoke or do anything, said Mabain suspiciously.
You should try some instead of getting your door cast electronics.
He asked me, you know, where the clothes were at, and I said, right on the corner of the bed where I put all my storage, and that was it. That's when Cruz learned his work jacket caught fire. Quote, what it appeared was that this fire had resulted from the resident that had lived there, had done some laundry, and right before leaving for work had pulled some laundry out of the dryer and sat her down in the bedroom, said Burlington Fire Public Information Official Daniel Schaffner. Apparently, there was some type of jacket made of some type of synthetic material, polyester-like, where the care tag suggested to hang dry and not put it in the dryer. Schaffner said the jacket overheated, and it held in that heat to the extent that when it was put in a pile in the bedroom, it smoldered and eventually the clothes combusted.
That's pretty fucked up that can happen. You should pay attention to the tags on your clothes and follow the instructions.
You'd be pretty mad if you, like, burnt half your house down and fucked up all your shit and you had to go live somewhere else and everything because you put a polyester jacket in the dryer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd look pretty stupid. Yeah.
You would, and he does.
And they put it in the news.
Yeah.
I needed to warn other people not to do stupid shit like this.
I will, though, continue making two phone calls at once every time that I fill up my tank at the petrol station, though.
That doesn't actually do anything,
though,
right?
Do
that's
anything.
Like a made-up rule.
It's absolutely made up.
My iPhone is not going to make a spark that ignites.
Imagine if it did, though.
Oh, it'd be embarrassing.
Zap. Yeah.
They'd put you in the news.
Probably would. Mabain said that when they told him, he couldn't believe it. Quote, I mean, it was incredible because I have not, I mean, in all the years of washing clothes, nothing ever happened to me in that capacity, you know. And I mean, initially, when I first heard about it, I didn't believe it, said Mabane. Barely coherent. It was also the first time the fire department had ever seen this happen. To top it off, Mabane works as a safety control officer and manages fire safety at work.
You dumb motherfucker. There it is. That's the yeah, kicker there.
There it is.
Yeah, I put twist. It in bold in there and everything.
Mm. The McClay twist.
Yep. That will become to known as my be known as my famous trademark.
Sick of these McClay twists. Can't he just tell a straight story for once?
I just want to say all the quotes from this dude make him sound dumb as a box of hammers.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that.
Quotes.
Yeah, he wouldn't store a box of hammers, though, due to the fire risk.
Quote, I'm pretty much trained for emergencies like smoke with fire, he said. What? What the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Like smoke with fire.
I'm pretty much trained.
This is a fire hazard, even to the untrained eye.
I'm kind of like
eye
the
is trained.
What's that birdie flamey type deal? I'm the guy that looks after that. Whatever the conflagration thing is. What's the thing that conflagrates?
I mean, like he's obviously pretty shit at managing the actual risk. So it sounds like what he's saying is that he understands that things can go on fire.
Yeah.
That seems like the main understanding that he's demonstrating here.
Hey, you guys notice this sort of like orangey red hot thing? You know what that is?
Oh, don't worry. I'm trained in this. I can tell you what
pretty
that
much
is.
Trained. I'm yeah,
pretty much trained.
90% of the way through my cert 2.
I've done the first 4 weeks of my 6 weeks of training on recognizing a flame.
Oh man.
The fire caused around $30,000 in damage. While he is sad to see his
Holy
home
shit.
Engulfed in flames, he said he was lucky it ended the way it did.
Also, I don't think I've ever cleaned a rain jacket in my entire life.
No, that shit cleans itself.
Yeah.
In the cupboard.
That's right.
Hanging up.
Yeah.
Just go out in the rain. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorted. Self-cleaning.
What the fuck, man?
And like the most you would possibly need to do with anything like this anyway is like wipe it down. You know? That's it.
Yeah. Hose it off. Just fucking hose it off.
Jeez. Punta Vista dummy of the week, this guy. No good. Sort yourself out. You expect to look after my fire risk with this behavior?
Yeah. Look after your own, sir.
Yeah. Start reading the tags on your clothes.
Yeah. Physician, put thyself out.
Folks, that right there is what we in the industry call one episode of the podcast Punta Vista.
Yeah, it's like 1.1.
Yeah. One and a little bit more.
One and a bit. That's a little something on the top for you. A little cream.
Yeah. That's a callback to a conversation we were having before we started recording.
Little cream for the listener. Delicious.
Yeah. We scooped that earlier cream off.
We did. Yep. And now there's no cream for you. You just have the regular stuff. The milk.
Little milk for the listener.
A little milk.
Delicious whole cream milk. Skimmed. Skimmed.
Yeah, it's skimmed because we've taken the cream. This is so fucking stupid.
Sorry, everyone. Well, hopefully next week we'll have some cream for you.
Maybe we'll just mix it in. It'll be whole cream milk that you'll get.
Slowly losing our grasp.
We were finishing pretty strong.
Another 500 episodes. We'll be adrift on human consciousness.
We'll get it. We'll get there in the end. Oh, boy. Look, we've been doing this for a long time. It's 2047.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing at this point.
That's
right. If you don't like it, that's on you.
It's a you problem.
That is genuinely how I feel, though.
All right, folks. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.